This is an interview with Mary Tonelato by Madeleine Regan on the 3rd of October 2008 in her home at Kidman Park. Also present is Mary's husband Bert. Mary's family name was Zoanetti. So Mary, the first part of this interview is about your background and about your family. Would you be able to start with your parents and when they were born and where they were born?
Okay, my father was born in 1896 and he got married in 1922 and to my mother, who was born in 1904, and I was the only child in the family. And
you were born in?
I was born in Zucchello, which is the town, and Trento, which is the province.
In Italy.
In Italy, yeah. That's right.
And your year of birth?
My year of birth is the 17th of September 1924.
Right.
And my mother and I came to Australia in 1931 on the 21st of December to join my father, who came in Australia in 1927. And there, when he came here, he went to work in cutting wood in the forest. And when we came, he went into a market garden up the hills where it's called Basket Range, and in 1942 we came down towards Kidman Park, Fulham.
You came with your parents?
With my parents I came, and then after we just kept working. I was working in an office for a few years, and then in 1947 I got married to Albert Tonelato, and we just continued our gardening and working in the glass houses. And we used to plant potatoes, tomatoes, cucumbers, and beans, and even watermelon.
Wow.
In the beginning of those years.
Mary, can you tell me a little bit about life with your parents at Basket Range? What was your father and mother, what were they growing?
We had potatoes, and then we had cherry trees and strawberries.
Wow, beautiful.
And apples.
Good climate.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know how much land you would have had up there?
12 and a half acres.
Was it 12 and a half acres, yes.
Ah, and very hilly?
Yes, yes. There's only very, very little flat area.
Were there many other Italian families there?
Yeah, there were there at that time then, yes. Yeah. And they all had orchards and that type of, they used to grow that type of vegetable or cabbages and cauliflowers.
And did your father take the produce to the East End
Market? To the East End Market, that's right, yeah. They used to leave some. First he started off with some horses, and then he gradually got himself a little truck, And they used to leave early in the morning, even sometimes at 3 o'clock, to come down with the horses especially.
How far is Basket Range from the city, do you think?
I think about 12 kilometres.
Yeah, yeah. No, it'd be more than 12 kilometres. I thought it was 12 miles out, but I'm not sure.
It might be.
Exactly.
You know where the castle, Basket Range Castle?
Oh, yes.
Just behind that.
Oh, right. Mm. Okay. Ah. And did your parents move... because they got, you know, better kind of situation in Fulham?
Yes, we just moved because he wanted to come down closer to Adelaide. Mm-hmm. And we started off a garden down here. And then in 1943, he passed away. So my mother and I just continued with the glass houses.
By yourselves?
By us. Us two.
How much land did you have?
Not much. We only had 6 glass houses. That's all that we had.
So how old were you when your dad died?
It was 1943. 19 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. And were you still working in the office?
I was working in the office, and then... I was going to go into Calvary for nursing, but then he passed away, so that blocked everything. Mm.
And did you stop working at the office so that you could help your mum in the glass houses?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Wow. Mm. So how long would you have continued that work together?
We've been
married, then she started again.
Yeah.
No, with her, it would have been about 3 years. 3 years, yeah.
Wow, hard work. Mm. And then I imagine that there wasn't welfare.
There was nothing, no welfare or whatever.
So it was really important that you kept up
going.
That work.
Mm.
How old, in 1943, would your mother have been then?
Well, she was 20 years older than me, so
39.
Yes, yes.
Young.
Yeah, that's right.
But she obviously was fit and healthy, were you.
Young, yeah, yeah.
And you grew tomatoes and...
Yes, in the glasshouse, and beans. And I think we grew a little bit of potato, but not very much at all. And because we couldn't, you know, it was too hard for us.
Yeah. Mm. Can you tell me exactly where your land was in Fulham?
Our land, actually, when he passed away, we came away from Fulham and we came down here near Grange Road, near Findon.
Right. So... the piece of land that has got the boundary with Grange Road?
Mm, that's right.
Grange Road.
And towards Frogmore Road.
Right.
Mm. Okay. Between Findon Road and Frogmore Road, that's where our land was.
Right.
Mm, but bordering Grange Road.
Oh, okay. And how many glass houses did you have?
6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Yeah. And what do you remember what life was like? You know, say, what would your average day have been with your mum at that time?
Oh, heavens above. it was quite normal. You know, we never used to go out that often. So that's how it went. You know, and
well,
I used to go out with some girlfriends in the Sunday for a walk. For a walk, that's all.
But you would have had a pretty early rising to work in the gardens,
yes,
I imagine.
Yes.
Especially in summer, picking the tomatoes.
That's right, yes. But you only had the 6 glasshouses, but all right, we were only two women working.
Was it unusual to for you and your mum to be working by yourselves like that?
Not really, because some people used to come and help if we needed it. There were next doors that had the same type of work.
Yeah.
And they used to have more machinery, like, not big machinery, but just, you know, easier to work with, you know, light machinery to work when there was a bit of digging or whatever.
But I was wondering if there would have been many women working by themselves, or was it more...
Oh, no, no, they were all married, but all the women that we had around our place there were all working in their glass houses.
Yeah, but probably alongside husbands and...
Yes.
So unusual to find the mother and the daughter.
Well, that was the only way, I suppose, that we could get something out for living and being together, you know.
Yes. Really. And was your home on the land there too?
No, well, it wasn't a home, it was just a little shed. And you sort of, it was those years, there wasn't much accommodation at all around. It was nothing. And most of the people used to live in sheds. Sheds, and they used to split it up and build, you know, dividers and sleep in sheds.
So what was your accommodation like then with your mum? How many, like...
Oh, we had one bedroom and a little spare room and a kitchen in a veranda type of thing, like pulled down from the shed.
And floor, did you have concrete
boards?
Board. So who would have built that?
Well, there was a friend that lent us his shed that he had, because he went overseas, so he said we can use it, and they pulled that shed over to where we had the land, so we can live in it.
You were lucky to have that. So that would have been 1943, 1944, 1945?
Yes. Even six.
His father helped a lot.
His father and his uncle, and his uncle's shed was the one we were living in.
Okay, and that's the Piofasan family.
Yes, that's right.
So you were living close to them.
Well, not far.
So we're talking about the war years, really, aren't we?
That's right.
Oh yes, just after. Yes, that's right. Actually, when my father died, I remember the day of the funeral, the siren at Holden was let off, and that was closed during the war. And then after that day there, they opened up the factory, whatever they were doing, I can't remember.
That's interesting. A strong memory for you. Where was your father's funeral conducted? Where was the church?
And we went to church. It was down at West Terrace.
Oh, okay.
At West Terrace.
Right.
Yes.
And which church did you go to?
St. Patrick we used to go to.
Oh, in the city. Right.
We never had that much time to go to church those years.
No, you would have been very busy.
Yeah.
And how can you tell me how then you and Bert met? Because you told me that your father died in 1943, then you and your mum had those years.
Yes.
Working.
And what we were doing is, it was a community that we were all close together. His family used to live next door to Bruno's father. It was all connected type of thing, you know. And that's how we got to know each other.
How many families do you think were living in close
by? There was
Giovizan,
Zalinazo.
What's name's father and mother?
Yeah, we were bordering.
Marchioro.
Yeah, we were bordering where they had their land.
Yeah.
And then there was a Balestrin. There was Balestrin, Zalinado, Piovizan, Leo, and Tonelato.
So
we all not far from one another.
Each one had their own garden.
Little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a tight community of people, which would have meant that that's how you and your mother would have got help when you needed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
People were very helpful then.
Yeah.
With one another.
And had all those families come from a similar place in Italy originally?
Yes, they would have, wouldn't they?
Yeah, come from Treviso, or have you ever heard?
I've been to Treviso.
Not far from there.
That section there, that area.
Yeah.
Region.
Yeah. Would your parents have known Bert's parents?
Not before. No, because I come from further away than Trento, near the border of Austria.
Ah, okay.
Up at
Zucolo, not far from the border.
Right.
Tione.
But still in the Veneto.
Trentino.
Trentino.
Trentino one.
Okay.
In the mountain.
I'm a different race.
What's the difference, do you think, between...
I don't know. Just maybe in foods. And I don't know about ways, really.
No.
We're more used to mountains.
Mountain, all right. They give you the sheep.
Whereas I think they had a different... Well, up where I came from, the people... I was only small when I came here. But the people over there, they used to go out up into the bush and get the grass, the dry grass, and heap it up and then take it down in huge amounts and carry it on their shoulders, on the back of their shoulders. Here. Rest it on their neck.
Okay. Strong.
It wasn't heavy because it was just sort of more volume. Yeah.
They had to get ready for the winter. They couldn't go out anymore.
So this was a way of preparing for...
And they used to get their timbers. And when the snow used to come, they used to have to go and to open the door for them in the morning. They would have to go with a shovel and shovel away the snow.
Because there was so much. Mary, we didn't talk about this at the beginning of the interview, but how old were you when you first came?
7 years old.
7 years old. And had you been to school in Italy by that time?
Just, I can't remember if it was 1 year, but it wasn't even quite 1 year.
So when you arrived in Adelaide and you went with your mum up to Basket Range, you went to school there? And was there a school at Basket Range? And do you remember much about that?
Yes. I can't think. I better not say.
Go on.
No, it was, I don't know. You know, they were very friendly. I mean, they used to make friends, you know, just as if I was their next door neighbour, you know, just. And they were very good to us up in the hills, at any rate.
And you finished primary school at Basket Range School?
Yes, and I went to high school at Norwood.
Oh, down the hill?
Yeah, used to come by bus every morning. Go on.
And how many years of high school did you do?
I went to two years, intermediate. I did my intermediate. And then I got a job in town. And I started work and I was still up the hills, yeah.
Oh, right. Mm. Right, so you would have gone into town by bus. And then when your parents moved down here.
Yeah, I used to go to catch the tram on Hillybitch Road.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
A little bit of a walk.
Yeah.
You have a tram everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Now they're trying to put them back. The first they dug them up.
And now we've got them again. Yeah. So, Mary, if we go back to the 40s, and you and your mum are working away and keeping busy. Did you go to market then with your produce?
No.
You would give it to someone else?
Yes, I can't remember to tell you.
Might have been
the
Chinese.
I can't remember.
Market.
But we never used to go to market.
So maybe someone, one of the other families
must have helped us out that way, but I just can't remember, was it?
There used to be the packers, they used to call them in the market.
And we
used to go around. You would ring them up, they'd come down and pick your tomatoes up and sell them for you.
Ah, and maybe that's...
To the packers, but I can't remember how it was taken there or whether they came to pick it up or what. I can't remember that.
Yeah. And tell me what happened when you and Bert met.
What happened?
Before I tell you where we met... We went to the first night I took her out, went to see Naughty 90.
Naughty 90. And
that was the first time I took her to the pictures.
It was the first time that the Can-Can came here in Adelaide.
Oh, really? And where was it?
Oh, at the... it was in Hindley Street.
That's right. Something
in the Royal. I can't remember. It was in Hindley Street. You know, where Flip... Miller Anderson was.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a theatre there.
Yes, not far from there, but I can't exactly pinpoint, you know, how far.
Yeah. Oh, so that was a big night out.
Yes.
And
after that, we're in trouble.
Oh.
Because of the dog. The dog, after that night, he used to come around to the outer door, the kitchen door, and Mum would go, "Berto, there's somebody waiting for you outside." It was a dog there, sitting there. He was the ugliest dog, but every night he used to come around.
See, he went home with him one night.
Yeah.
And from then, he started going to pick him up.
You wouldn't believe it.
Because he knew that you were going to get together.
Maybe, yeah.
What kind of dog was he?
He was a terrier.
Oh,
A black, real jet black
ugly.
One. And he had... moustaches coming out from everywhere.
Oh. And he obviously really liked you, Bert.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, you see, because my father wasn't around, he was the one that brought the dog home from market.
Oh.
See? And because my father wasn't around, maybe I thought that's why he got attached to him so...
Another
male, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to know each other and decided...
And just carried on.
Yeah. Like and what year did you marry?
1947.
1947.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with your mum then?
Well, she stayed with us.
Oh, okay.
She lived with us all the time.
Right.
She passed away... how many years? It's 13 years she passed away. So what year would that be?
So you got married in 1947. I'm adding up here.
Yeah.
1960.
Mm.
Right. So when you got married to this handsome gentleman here, where did you go and live?
We built a little house. And that's when we moved to Frogmore Road. that we built a little house there of asbestos, and it was the first little house that was built in this area here. Otherwise,
wow.
You know, like I said before, everybody used to live in sheds.
So 1947, the first kind of house. Mm. And if we look at this little map here that Johnny Marchioro drew, so here's Grange Road in the north.
Oh, right.
And here's Frogmore Road, and here's Findon Road to the west. Here is the name Piovesan and Tonalata.
That's it.
And that's where you live?
No, we didn't live there. That's where his parents lived and Bruno's parents lived. And we lived down here on near Frogmore Road a little fraction in.
And how much land did you have then?
It's about two and a half acres.
Right, okay. And so you knew the life of somebody who was a market gardener.
Yes.
She was such in love with me.
Did you have a honeymoon before you...
In the glass house?
In the glass house.
Pulling up the tomatoes because they were lying flat. They grew too long.
What month did you marry?
In April.
Okay.
And we plant the tomatoes about February.
Yeah.
So by the time they grew a bit too long and we had to put the strings and pull them up.
And that's what you were doing
That's my honeymoon.
Oh. And was the house already finished when you were married?
Or? Yes.
The chap built it, the carpenter, he charged me £5 to build it.
You gave him
not the material.
Just
to build it.
Yeah, for the work.
Yeah.
Wow. And what was the house like? You had a bathroom inside and kitchen inside?
We had under the veranda, we had the bathroom and a little bit of a laundry. And then inside we had the kitchen, bedroom, the lounge and our bedroom. There was three bedrooms.
Right. So it must have been quite luxurious after the kind of...
Oh, in the shed, yeah.
Yeah. It looked really nice.
Mm.
Yeah. It must have been lovely when you first got married. So when in the first weeks of marriage you were hard at work in the tomatoes, how many glass houses did you have as a couple?
10. Wasn't it 10?
10. And did that include the ones that had been with you and your mum?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Mm. That's right. Yeah.
I got the daughter out of her hand and she gave me the glass out.
Probably wasn't, you know, fantastic pay, you know, the glass houses for this wonderful... And can you remember about your first years of married life?
Yeah, we were just happy and carrying on our work. We didn't worry about the work, no.
She was in love about 2 or 3 years.
And children?
Mm-hmm. Well, my daughter was born in 1948. The son in 1949. There was a 18-month difference. And then there was... After 3 years, another one was born in 1953 and another one in 1956.
So altogether you had...
They were the 4 children.
Yeah, 2 boys.
One boy and 3 girls.
And did they... you know, how did you live as a mother and as the wife of a market gardener? How was that?
Oh, to get on together, you mean?
Well, the work.
Yeah. Oh, the work. Yeah, but that's a good few years ago. These two are married. He's got 4 children.
Right. We're looking at a photo of Mary and Bert's children.
Yeah, yeah. That's Raymond. That's our son there. That's his wife, and then the three children.
That's lovely. And this is the whole...
That's Linda's, is it? Yes, that's Linda. But this picture here was taken about 5 years ago.
Oh, right. Right.
So there's added, that's been added. Since others then. Have been added to that. Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely. And Linda's your eldest. So I'm trying to imagine what it was like, you know, in your household with living, you know, next to or close to your, you know, work and the children.
That was enjoyable, really. You know, you just didn't. And when the children used to come home, that they used to big enough that they used to go to school, they all used to come over the, you know, the glass houses or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, he always used to go and get them, pick them up. We always used to take them and pick them up.
Where did they go to school?
At Flinders Park first, and then Hindmarsh. And then some ended up at Kensington when they went to higher school.
Yeah. St. Joseph's at Kensington.
That's right, yeah.
So they helped in the glass houses.
They only used to pass some time just to carry empty buckets or whatever.
Driving that little tractor.
And Raymond used to drive a little tractor. It was just a tiny one, because I used to drive that in the glass houses too.
And you continued growing tomatoes and beans,
and then in the glass house, once the tomatoes were finished, the beans would be already up. The same string, and then would cut the tomato at the base, and that would be dead. So the beans would be the ones growing up. Or we had, where we never had beans, we had cucumbers.
And they'd be on the strings?
Too.
Ah.
You could get two crops in a year instead of one.
That was a really good planning.
Oh, We used to have cucumbers, and then at the end we had to have capsicum, didn't we? But that no string with them, they just had to be planted.
And did you also have vegetables planted outside?
In the beginning we did.
What did you have?
Potatoes. That was the hardest work, digging with a hand, not digging with a plough, yes, but then you had to pick them up with the hands, you know, and bucket them and then carry the heavy buckets to the
You pick up a bucket of potatoes, they get threepence.
They probably felt they were really lucky.
Oh, yeah.
And what sort of life did you have outside the working life as you were raising your family?
Well, it was visiting people. We always used to go and visit one another. And even in the evenings, if we would go, the men would play cards, and the women, while the children were being occupied with books or whatever, the women used to knit.
And knit for the kids?
Once it was all knitted garments, you know, like a lot of, especially with the babies, all knitted frocks or whatever, you know, tops and that. And that's how it went.
And knitting's good because there's an opportunity for conversation.
We just enjoy it. That was the way of life, you know. There was, then as the children got bigger, then we could get more out, and we'd go to, when the clubs came along, you know, we used to go to the clubs and whatever.
Like the Veneto?
And in town, the Carrington.
Carrington. We still remember there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We haven't been there for ages.
With your mum living with you, I guess that was also, she would have been a help.
For company for the children. You know, at least I could go out and help him, you know, without having the hassle of the children at home on their own. I used to do the cooking and whatever, and washing and whatever. But, she was a help for the children.
And where did you do your local shopping and food shopping and things like that?
That was around here, down at Coles.
It wasn't cold.
I can't remember.
Chicken On the corner there,
no,
the cold.
No, but after, Albert.
Oh.
After what? It was cold there that came up after.
Well,
yeah.
Even before, the poultry farm, that was cold.
Yeah.
The name of the person who had the poultry farm was
Coles.
Yeah. And they built a Coles supermarket.
And we had a cow, we had chicken, and we had lots of kittens.
And who milked the cow?
My husband.
So did you make butter and cheese?
We made butter. I used to make butter, cheese, cream. Anything else?
Beautiful.
No, butter, cheese and cream. And we used to have as much milk as we wanted. And the cream in the milk was so thick. Not like the milk you get now.
Did many people have cows?
Everybody had a cow, really?
Most of them.
Mm. A good way to have all that dairy product,
yes,
fresh.
You had
a lot, something to buy butter. You had to once a week or
once
a
week. Coupons.
Yeah, coupons.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So if you had a cow...
Had no problems, yeah.
So how long did you stay on Frogmore Road then?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we were there because 1951 we bought our land on Findon Road.
Right. And I think that I remember you told me that the land on Findon Road was 6 acres and it had been part of 10 acres of a returned soldiers'
land. Yeah, that's right.
And whereabouts on Findon Road?
You know where the squash court is? I don't think I'm...
Maybe Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson?
There's warehouses there.
Right. So that's quite close to the river.
And there's a
No.
There's a garage there on Findon Road. As you come up from Grange Road, there's a garage on the left-hand side, and our property was just
opposite.
Nearly opposite, just a fraction.
Right. And what was that land like in 1951 then?
That land was... it was this returned soldier that had it, and I think he had pigs in there, didn't he?
Pigs, yeah.
Just a few pigs. And that's all. And the old house, a nice big old house.
Oh, nice.
And so we bought that land with the house on it.
And the house was, you were able to move into
fix it and move in.
Mm. And what did you do with the land? You didn't have pigs?
No.
We had the garden. That's what we had, garden.
So did you move the glass houses?
Yeah.
Yes.
We used to move them every 2 or 3 years. We shift them from one spot to another because we never had anything to
fumigate the soil for diseases and that the tomatoes used to get. So you had to shift it into
that
a different.
Was a big job. But still, we used to worry.
Very big job.
Mm-hmm.
And the Findon Road. Is it north of Grange Road then, the property?
No, it would be. What's that?
Halfway from Grange Road to the river.
Is it north or south?
Okay.
It must be towards Henley Beach Road.
Ah, right.
Is that south?
Yeah.
Is that south?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Were there many other Italian families near you then?
Most of all Italian.
Down along Frogmore Road and Findon Road, it was occupied by Italians.
It used to be called Round Road.
Once.
Yeah. They changed the name to the river.
No, but Rouse Road is on Findon Road on the other
side of the river. Right, yeah. And someone told me that this area used to be called St. James Park.
That's right.
I wonder when that changed.
And I don't know, but then it changed would have been around the 50s, around the 60s, I think, because there's a St. James Park at Unley, I remember hearing, but I'm not quite sure.
That's why they changed the name.
That's probably why they changed the name, I don't know.
Ah.
But it was St. James Park, yeah.
Ah. Sounds very grand, doesn't it? St. James Park.
Unless it, I wonder if it was because it was given to the returned soldiers. I don't know.
The returned soldiers had land on Findon Road and around this area.
The returned soldiers were... Was where Chirillas were? That, was that I don't think that was returned soldiers because that's where the horses were. And from about... It was after, from our land, and Tilly, there was Tilly there too, and from Tilly's land and up to the river, that was all returned soldiers.
Oh.
About halfway up from Grange Road to the river, about halfway was all returned soldiers.
And what were they doing with the land?
They rent them out, Tilly.
Did Tilly rent them out? He sold. I know he sold it in pieces.
Next door neighbour.
And so did. So did Kew.
He used to sell, I think, an acre every year, so he can have a good time.
Yeah.
He used to buy them up.
And he was a returned soldier.
Yeah.
But did they actually have market gardens or?
No.
But they had. Like 10 acres?
They had land, yes.
They used to grow loose and some.
Oh, did they? Yeah, I can't remember.
And then they used to butcher it up, the loose, and they used to sell it, I don't know, to who.
And these were the soldiers returned from World War One?
Yeah, that's right. They're like my father.
Yeah.
He was in
World War. Oh, that's right.
1914 or 1918.
Six years.
Because... He was in the army before the war started, and then, before the war started, and then he started to work in the gardens.
Down here?
Yeah.
It's interesting that this land that was given to the returned soldiers was quite close to the city.
You would think,
So, alongside the returned soldiers, there were a lot of Italian people.
That's right, because they would have been against one another. Is that right?
No problem.
Really.
My father was a quiet man. He never used to worry. No, he used to worry, but not... To fight, he used to say, if the war comes out like we did the other one, he said, send a politician. He always used to say that.
So how long did you stay then on Findon Road? You went there in 1951?
We shifted in 1974.
Oh, okay.
That's when we sold the property.
Mm-hmm. And how much did you sell? Like, how big was your land?
The whole piece.
About two or three acres.
Oh,
we sold it to Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson, first. I forgot that one.
Then we sold the other, all in one block.
Right.
We had a nice house there because Basker Range Stone, I think it was the best house on the street. And then we sold everything out. We wanted to keep the house. Well, they wouldn't buy the land if we don't sell it.
Yeah, didn't sell everything.
I said, that's all right. So we bought a block on Henley Beach Road, up the best block in South Australia. It was next to the bank and opposite the hotel, Lockley's Hotel.
That's right, on the corner of Tapleys Hill Road and Henley Beach.
Yeah, near.
It's the first house from Tapleys Hill Road going towards town.
Right. And it's still there?
Still there.
I have to look at it.
Yeah. The woman's are smart because his wife said to my, said we go out and look for a house. My son's wife said to Mary, we go around and see if we can buy a house. So we had the double garage in the front, our house, and a garage at the back. He said that's where really the one we need. So she said, you can have that one. And we'll buy one, just this one here.
So, So in 1974, you moved. And did you have any market gardening land then?
No.
So you finished your... And what did you do? I'll speak with you after. But Mary, what did you do when you moved?
I was in the household. And then he was buying up units and that, old houses, and we used to fix them up to rent, for rental purposes.
And you helped out with that? Mm.
She was in charge.
Oh, so that was another team effort? And then you moved back to Frogmore Road. When was that?
That was in... 26 years ago, so that would be 82.
So you came back to the area that you both knew.
Where we built our little house, the first house.
Is it on the same land?
Not far. The little house was just a little bit further up that way.
And can you remember when all the housing around here first started in a big way? When
the housing, not very many, because there was land in between. But and then after, when the people had finished working with the gardens and that, then that's when it all started. 20 years ago? About 20 years ago, I suppose.
So the land that you would have known changed much.
Definitely, yeah.
Not the same place, really.
No.
And Mary, if you look back over your... kind of life as a market gardener, what were some of the things that you enjoyed?
As a market gardener?
Hmm.
I don't know. We used to I used to enjoy the family and, just being together, I suppose, and used to enjoy that. And work never worried me at all, nothing. Never had the thought, oh, gee, how much I've got to do and whatever. Just carry on.
I think when you're happy, a man and wife, I think everything works out. Being happy together.
Yes.
That's what we were.
The family, I don't know. I just think of, I used to love...
Every time we change a motor car, we go for a holiday, take the kids with us, with a caravan.
So you saw a lot of the countryside. What about the seasons? Did you have a preference for any particular season?
Well, I used to like my summers.
Did you?
I don't like the cold weather that much.
Must have been hard work in summer in the market gardens, though.
Yeah, it was not scorching in the glass houses, but outside it would have been, but not scorching, it was more steamy. In the glass houses.
And winter in the glass houses?
That was good.
That was steamy too?
Because she was young.
And tell me, did you go back to Italy?
First time we went was in 1968. And then we went another, in 20 years after, we went another once.
We stayed there 6 months.
The first time.
First time.
And did you travel very much when you were there?
Yes. He bought a car and we travelled a good bit.
29,000 kilometres with him.
With the car, and then we went as far as Portugal with a tour.
And did you have many relatives that you...
No, I never had any. And Albert had young boys, but when we went in 68, those cousins of yours, they were very young. You had an auntie still, though.
That's right, my auntie.
You had your auntie.
When we went over the first time, we got a flat right opposite our auntie.
Sorry, I had an auntie too. I forgot about
that.
Yeah.
You leave your auntie.
Yeah.
And was that what sort of experience was that, you know, when you first went?
Well, when I first went, I got all lumped up.
She was crying like a baby.
It's funny, although I didn't know them, because I was very little when I came away, I know of them, but that's all. I just got lumped up and...
Very emotional.
I am.
Yeah. Mm. But that would be an emotional experience, like returning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for them too.
Mm, mm. Oh, yes, definitely.
Her auntie still had a cot in the bedroom, and father's bedroom. Bed. She had never took it away. They left the room how they left.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gee. And did you remember what places looked like?
I can remember the piazza, because I remember when we left, all the women got together. I remember that. All the women got together in this little piazza to say goodbye to us. And they were all crying and saying, "Where are you going? Where there's all animals?"
They were really worried.
Worried, yeah.
Oh.
So, you know, well, nobody knew but their own little area where they lived. You know, that's all. It was very poor country.
Yeah. Mm. And do you know why your father had come to Australia?
Actually, my father, when he was 15 years old, he was escorted to America by somebody because he was too young to go on his own, so he had to have some person to go with him. And he went to America, and he came out in about 1920-something, yeah.
And do you know why he left his home and his family?
Well, he left, there was no work, or no money anywhere. I'm sure that was the reason why, you know.
And was he the only one from his family to
leave? He was the only boy, yeah.
Mm. Such a big thing.
Mm.
So he left at 15 and didn't return.
Yeah, he returned when he got married. That's all, 1920s, something like that, 20. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, so he went back, married your mother.
Mm. And then in 1927 they came here. He came here.
And then a little while later...
Because they came here because most of the people that went into other countries, see, and in the ones that went to America, there was a lot from that same township that was over there. So apparently there was a good few over there and, you know, they knew of America and so they used to go, you know, there. And when my father went to go back again, the immigration was closed. That's why they all turned to Australia. That year there.
Same as us.
Yeah.
He's supposed to go to Canada.
Even his family, even his father.
Hmm.
And then they turned to Australia because they stopped that immigration.
Yeah, yeah.
So the decision for your father then was to come to Australia. And did he know anybody here or did he come with somebody?
There was nobody here. No, no, no. He was at an age that he could come. No, there was nobody here. No.
Such a big thing.
Mm.
Not from the same township, but you know, nobody that he knew of, you know. There were Italians here.
Oh.
It's not very many, I don't think. Very, very few, but...
Because it was 1927, wasn't it?
Mm,
yeah. And when you arrived in 1931,
mm-hmm.
yeah, 4 years
after. Yeah.
And your father would have made some money to pay for the...
The trip, maybe, that's all. Because there was no money around. No.
No. And now...
Actually, in the beginning, the first... I think it was the first month or so, when he went to cutting wood, he didn't get paid. You know, that's what it was like.
Do you know where he cut wood?
It was up Truro way, wasn't it? Mm. Mm. Up Truro, up Blanchetown, towards that area there.
Mm. Hard work.
Yeah. Mm. And that was the only way, I suppose, that they could get some, maybe. I don't know what else would have been around. Gardening, and that's all, I suppose, wouldn't it be?
Mm. Not much other work.
No. I used to go to Truro to get our firewood. Oh, you know, about a foot long.
Oh, Mallee's.
Mallee country.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I used to leave about 3-4 o'clock in the morning. A couple of times a year I used to go up.
When we used to have the wood stove.
Good.
Just save a bit of money, you know.
Yeah. No, but it was good because you used to have
the whole house was warm.
Yeah. The whole house, and you always used to have boiling water. No, it was good.
It was a good life.
Yeah. And so, Mary, that is an interesting unfolding of events, isn't it? From, you know, like your father arriving here in 1927, and here we are in 2008. Mm. Yeah, 80 years. Yeah. And a kind of life that maybe if you'd stayed in Italy, you wouldn't have
had. I don't think so. Because when we went in 1968 in Italy, I thought those poor country towns were very, very poor. I felt sorry for the families, you know, but yeah, that's how I felt, you know, because they were very poor, those country towns there. The cities might have been different, but I don't know.
Yeah, the cities didn't have any job, hardly any.
Oh, I don't know.
And
whatever.
And yeah. For you, your life, you know, was quite established here, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed life. You know, to be with the family and that's all. You know.
Yeah.
And you had lots of friends. And once upon a time, there was more friends than now. Now everybody's glued to the television and haven't got time to go out. And you're getting older. So.
Yeah.
We used to play
cards
too. Once a week, the four of us. We used to go to different homes. Like one week they'll come here and the next week they'll go somewhere else. And the woman would have got cakes ready for them.
No, we used to get supper.
Yeah.
And they used to go home about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wild. So, Mary, the important things for you then have been like family, work, friends.
Yeah. That's what it was like, you know.
That's lovely. Well, thank you very much for your time and giving the interview.
It was nice to being able to say something.
It's great.